I want to invite you to join me as we honor the reading of God's Word together, Psalm 19. I'd encourage you just to stand there in your home as we read from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. Let me encourage you to go back and check out verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19 is basically a description of God's revelation of himself. Verses 1 through 6 talk about God's revelation in creation. We're not going to read those right now this morning, but verses 7 through 14 talk about God's revelation through his word to us. And that's what we're going to be thinking a lot about together this morning. And so I want to read those verses, and also it talks about our response to his self-revelation through the precious word of God, the book we call the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 7. This can be found about midway in your copy of God's Word. Book of Psalms are kind of midway. And then chapter 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple or the foolish. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they, that is, the words of God, than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, that is, by the words of God, is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And God has given us his word to show us exactly who he is, exactly who we are, to communicate to us the gospel that we mentioned earlier, and to then instruct us that once we've received his mercy and grace and been made right with him, declared righteous before him, his word instructs us how to live so as to shine his glory even to the ends of the earth. And so we want to hear and hear well the word of God so that it transforms our lives. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want us to pray for those that you know who don't yet know the gospel of God. They've not heard from the word of God about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I want us to pray that we would be lights to the world, even as we'll be talking about this morning, from the Word of God. And I want us to pray for for the nations, especially the Ansari of Pakistan, 4,726,000 people in this unreached people group with no evangelical witness among them. Almost 5 million people in Pakistan in one people group, the Ansari, who've never heard the message of Jesus Christ. This is why we as the church exist, is to make Christ known among the nations. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. This is your job, church. This is my calling. We are called to take the gospel. So I want us to pray that God would send missionaries to the Ansari in Pakistan from our church, that God would raise up someone to go to the unreached peoples there. Join me as we pray together. Father, we come to you today rejoicing in the beauty and the goodness and the sufficiency of your word that contains especially the good news about Jesus. Father, thank you for how you have blessed us and let us see and hear and understand how you have worked salvation in our hearts. Those of us listening today and on this live stream today who know you, it's all by your sovereign mercy and grace that blind eyes can suddenly see, that dead hearts can suddenly feel, that completely deaf ears can suddenly hear. And so dead were we in sin, and yet you raised us to life. Gave us eyes to see, ears to hear. You took out a heart of stone, you put in a heart of flesh. Father, it is that miracle of salvation by grace alone that we pray for those that we know, friends, family members, co-workers. It's that miracle of resurrection we pray for in their lives. But God, we know you never do that miracle apart from the proclamation, from the speaking, from the telling of the truth about Jesus, the story of Jesus' perfect life, his sin atoning death, and his resurrection. And Father, we know that we are the ones you have put into the lives of our friends, family members, and co-workers for that purpose. Keep us from a guilty silence. Keep us, Father, from being rebellious servants in the kingdom of Jesus, and make us shine bright as lights as we open our mouths and live lives in accordance to the gospel, to both show and tell the beauty of Jesus by which we've been captivated. Father, for the Ansari of Pakistan, we pray, Lord, that you would open hearts, prepare hearts, and send missionaries with the message that many from that 4.7 million population might come to know Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our nation today. Some of our own number dealing with COVID-19 right now. Father, we pray for their healing, for their strengthening. Father, others hospitalized in grave situations, we pray for them. Father, we pray for wisdom at all levels and continuing to mitigate this pandemic and yet somehow to continue on with the lives you've called us to, the mission as a church that we have. Give us wisdom, Father. Show us how to serve best, even in these days. Father, we pray for truth and justice all across our land to prevail. God, our world is confused about what truth is. Our world, of its own definitions, have redefined what justice is all about. And so, Father, we pray that your truth, your justice, but above all, our world needs the message of your grace. And God, may that message ring through us in these days. May we not be foolish as followers of Jesus and become bogged down in the rhetoric of the world and in the divisions of the world. But Father, may we show the world the unity and peace and love and grace and mercy that you have extended us, even as we extend it to them. Use us, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, y'all just got me this morning with all the increases in our county. The worship team, we made a decision for the worship team to sit this one out. And so I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 this morning. We're going to be looking at Luke 8, verses 16 to 21. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. So if you go just right to the center of your Bible and get to the beginning of the New Testament, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke. After Luke is John. If you see John, you've gone a little far. So Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. As many of you know, Betsy and I have a combined total of 6 children. Now, that's a lot of kids. We're currently in the process of raising teenager number 6. Now, we don't pretend to have seen it all. Praise the Lord. But we've seen quite a bit. Quite a bit of hogwash, if any of my kids are watching this morning, from a bunch of teenagers. We've seen a little bit of that teenage nonsense. And so, Grant, you don't stand a chance, son, as you enter your teenage years. Betsy and I could not even begin to count the number of times that we've been trying to reason with a teenager, earnestly discussing something, pouring our hearts out in love through our words to that young man, warning our daughter, exhorting our son, teaching her, or maybe just simply instructing the boy with a simple task to be done in the moment, only to look at that kid and realize that he or she is absolutely in the twilight zone. Mom and Dad, do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, this kid has no more heard the words you have been speaking than the man in the moon. And we hear ourselves addressing that child, that teenager, once again, "Are you listening to me?" Now, what'll test your parental self-control is if in that moment your teenager responds, "Well, yeah, I'm listening." That's probably when the decibels increase in the room of your home and you loudly say to that young man or woman, "No, you're not. If you were listening, you'd already be moving and obeying what I just said." Mom, Dad, you ever said that? You ever been there? You ever known that frustration? You ever been in that moment when your child, though he's hearing words, though she's processing what you're saying, it's going in one ear and right out the other? Jesus, as we saw last week in Luke 8, verses 1 through 15, is very interested in what kind of listener I am. Jesus says it is critical for your life and for your eternity how you listen to Him. We looked last week at Jesus' hearing test for your heart. You could almost say that today's message is Jesus' hearing test for your heart, part two. The title for today's message is a question. I want you to hear it as if Jesus were asking it, because He really is. And here's the question Jesus is asking this morning. Are you really listening to me? Asks Jesus. Are you really listening to me? What we're going to see from Luke 8, 16 to 21 is this simple truth. Obedience to Jesus. Obedience to Jesus is the mark of the one who has savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real relationship with Jesus. You know how you can know if you're listening to Jesus? If you're obeying Him. If you listen, then you obey. Obedience to Jesus is the mark of the one who has savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real relationship with Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Jesus has just come off the parable of the soils. We looked last week at the four different soils, the hard soil, the shallow soil, the overgrown soil, and the good soil. The descriptions of our heart and how we respond to God's word based on the condition of our heart. He comes right off of that. He changes the picture here. And he says in verse 16, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." So in that day, lamps were like an oil lamp. There was some sort of probably clay type container that contained oil. There would be a wick, and there was no electricity, so the lamp was lit by a flame, and then that lamp was taken into a given room to light the room. Jesus says in that scenario, no one lights a lamp, and after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar. Nobody takes a freshly lit lamp and puts a bowl over it. Nobody takes a freshly lit lamp, and it says here, puts it under the bed, and you're thinking, no, of course not. Your house would burn down. The bed catch on fire, the house would burn down. Well, that's not the picture here. In that day, they had bed rolls that they would lay out on the floor. And so the idea is taking that bed roll or something that we would imagine is a thick blanket and putting it over the lamp. It'll snuff the fire out. Nobody does this, Jesus said. But rather they put it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. Jesus says, are you listening to me? Jesus' hearing test for your hearts, here it is again. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. What these verses make clear is that obedience to Jesus is the mark of the one who's savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real, a genuine, a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what does this obedience, that is the mark of the true believer, what does this obedience include according to our text? I want you to notice from these verses two key facets to our obedience to Jesus that will signal true saving faith in him. There are two key facets to the true follower of Jesus' obedience that make it clear that he indeed does know Christ. That Jesus is not just on their lips, that they're not Christians in name and association only, but they actually know Jesus personally. Two key facets. First of all, notice with me from verse 16. True Jesus followers shine the light of the gospel into their world. True Jesus followers shine the light of the gospel into their world. Verse 16 again. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. The whole purpose in the person going to the trouble of lighting the lamp is not just to turn around and snuff it out and hide it. The purpose is to put it on a stand so that it lights the room. Now, if I were to tell you that right now in this moment I have a flashlight that is burning, what would you say? You see me right here. You can see me. I'm not holding a flashlight. You don't see any light, but I told you that I have a flashlight that is burning. Well, what I didn't tell you is that that flashlight is in my pocket, and there it is. But here's the deal. That's dumb, right? Who turns on a flashlight and sticks it in their pocket? Because to turn the flashlight on is to say I need light, but to put it in my pocket is to say I'm not going to shine it. If your lamp has been lit by Jesus, you're going to shine. If your lamp has been lit by Jesus, you're not going to hide it. You're not going to put it under a jar. You're not going to smother it out with a blanket. You're not going to turn a flashlight on and stick it in your pocket. You're going to tell others who Jesus is and what he's done for you and what he can do for them. So great is your joy, so captivated by the beauty of the light himself, Jesus, you will be that you can't help but shine the light of the gospel into your world. Louis Giglio, in his Finish the Mission, says this: there is a ripple effect to the gospel that's inevitable. There's a ripple effect to true grace. It does not lead us to only sit and contemplate what happened to us. It leads us to proclaim what's happened to us and what can happen to anybody and everybody on the planet who will look to Jesus and embrace His light, the grace of our God. Lou Giglio says this is inevitable. If Jesus has lit your lamp, you will shine it. You'll shine the gospel into your world. J.I. Packer, who passed away just a couple days ago, one of the great saints and theologians and writers of our day. He wrote a great book. This is an aside real quick, just in honor of his death. What a great man of God. He wrote a book called Knowing God. That book was one of the first books that radically changed my perspective on who God was. And I would commend Knowing God by J.I. Packer to your reading. It's an amazing kind of sort of an overall theology, and yet very readable and very, very warm and just an awesome way to get to know the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. But he wrote another book called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. And in that book, here's what he says. God's way of saving men is to send out His servants. That's me and you if we're in the church today, if we know Jesus today. God's way of saving men is to send out His servants to tell them the gospel. And the church has been charged to go into all the world for that very purpose. You see, true Jesus followers shine the light of the gospel into their world and unto the ends of the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this about us who know Jesus. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Jesus' own possession. Why? What's the end goal of that? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God saved you not so that you could sit soaking sour, but so that you could stand and proclaim the goodness, the excellencies, the beauties of the one who's taken you out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of His marvelous light. That is our calling. True Jesus followers. It's not optional. It's not a question of if it will happen in the life of a true follower of Jesus. True Jesus followers shine the light of the gospel into their world, period. Philippians 2, verses 14 to 16, Paul here assumes the same thing. He exhorts the church at Philippi and he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. We make light of grumbling and disputing in the church of Jesus Christ today. It is a big deal. We act like it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. Because listen to what he says. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, one of the best ways to mess up your witness in your community, in your workplace, in your family, grumble and complain. And you'll turn the lumens of your light for Jesus way, way down. And yet the church is full of grumblers and complainers. The world hears more grumbling out of Christians than it hears joy in proclamation about the grace of Jesus. And it ought not be so. And so we're to do all things without grumbling or complaining because we're to be those who shine as lights in the world. Listen, not just living it in front of them, but holding fast to the word of life, the gospel. So that in the day of Christ, Paul said, I may be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. We're to live as lights, shining as lights in our world as we even hold fast and hold forth and proclaim the good news, the word of life about Jesus Christ. True Jesus followers shine the light of the gospel into their world. They obey the Great Commission. They see as the main business of their life. If you're a true follower of Jesus, this is how you think. The main business of my life is to obey the great commission given to me by Jesus before he ascended to the Father, and that is to make disciples of all nations, to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, Jesus said, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and know that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what? We assume as American Christians that God has called us to stay. Here's the deal. That's the stupidest thing we should have ever heard, because Jesus said to all of us, go. We should be compelled by good reason and the Spirit of God only to stay and not go to the nations based on the command of Jesus. But here's the deal. Wherever we are, there is no debate. We are bound to our Savior. We are commissioned by our head to make disciples, who in turn make disciples and help them follow the Lord Jesus. You see, obedience to Jesus is the mark of the one who has savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real relationship with God. And that one will be shining the light of the gospel into their world. Do you shine in a dark world? Do you shine the gospel? Do you tell people about Jesus in your world? Secondly, notice from verse 21, true Jesus followers not only shine the gospel into their world, true Jesus followers shape their lives according to Jesus' commands. In verse 21, remember, he's there and apparently in a house. His mother and brothers come to see him. They can't get to him. He's been teaching about being the light. And they say, hey, your family's outside to see you. But Jesus' answer in verse 21 is this: my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And so what happens, what's going on in this verse is that Jesus makes it clear that the relationship that matters most, the relationship that matters eternally during your life here on earth, is not who you're related to on earth. It's not who your blood kin is in this world, but rather whether or not you are spiritually and eternally related to Jesus Christ by faith in the gospel, with the result that you shape your daily life according to his commands. Not those of family, not those expectations of friends, not those expectations of the world, not the norms of how everyone around you is living, but you shape your life because you've heard Jesus' word, you do it. You shape your life according to Jesus' commands. True Jesus followers shape their lives according to Jesus' commands. That's why in James 1, verse 22, James says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know what that means? You can think you're a Christian, but if you don't do the words Christ said, if you don't obey the commands of Jesus, James says all you're doing is deceiving yourself. You can listen to the Bible on tape. You can tune into the live stream here. You can listen to the Word of God preached 24/7 if you want to. But if you never stand up and obey the word that you've heard, then James says you're self-deceived and you don't truly know Jesus. You may know a lot about him, but you don't personally know him in a saving relationship by faith. Don't be self-deceived. Don't be a hearer only. Over in John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, Tim Mosley Sunday School class has been studying through 1 John together. I think y'all are already past this point, not real sure, but heard some stuff this morning as I was in the house there as the live stream or the Zoom Bible study was going on, that sounded a whole lot like this. Not these verses, but very much akin. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6, and by this we know that we have come to know him. How do you know if you know God? How do you know if you're in a personal relationship with Jesus? He's fixing to tell you. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I know him. Have you ever said that? You ever said, I know Jesus? Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. That's pretty plain, isn't it? And the truth is not in him. If you had any question about what being a liar was, it means the truth's not in you. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. It's obvious that the love of God is in his heart, that Jesus lives there by his spirit. By this we may know that we are in him. By what, John? Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he, that is Jesus, walked. We should look like Jesus. We should obey the words of Jesus. So here's the deal. From now on, if you don't plan to obey the commands of Jesus, then quit saying you know him and tarnishing his beautiful and precious name. If you have said, I know him, but your life is far from anything to do with the commands of Jesus, then hear the warning of Jesus, who is saying to you this morning, are you really listening to me? Because if you're really listening, then you're going to obey. True Jesus followers shape their lives according to the commands of Jesus. John 14, 21, Jesus himself again, his own words again, whoever has my commandments and keeps them. It's not enough to have them. It's not enough to have a copy of the Word of God that you possess and may even get out and read sometimes. Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He it is who loves me. You see, true Jesus followers, according to Jesus himself, shape their lives according to Jesus' commands. And so the question comes this morning, are you a true Jesus follower? Do you shine the gospel into your world? Do you shape your life by the commands of Christ? Are you really listening to Jesus? Have you really heard and believed the gospel? Do you truly know Jesus personally, or do you just talk about him? You see, obedience to Jesus, it is the telltale mark of the one who has savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real relationship with Jesus. The last thing I want you to notice from these verses this morning, you could call it a third point, but really it's the wrap-up, it's the application, it's Jesus' clear warning about listening. We've seen what true listeners look like, what true followers look like. They shine the gospel into their world. They shape their lives according to the commands of Jesus. And Jesus has a strong warning for all of us this morning about how we listen. Verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. What's he saying there in verse 17? Here's what he's saying. You can claim to have the light, but if your light's not shining the gospel to the world, if you're putting the light you say you've received from God, his grace and his mercy, if you're putting it under a basket and hiding it or snuffing it out with a blanket, that's not going to go unnoticed in the last day. There's coming a day when Jesus will expose hypocrisy and pretenders. There's coming a day when Jesus, hear me, will destroy pretenders forever under his just wrath. For they heard the gospel, but they didn't really listen. They claimed to know him, but they didn't obey him and shine his glories to those all around them. That's what verse 17 is all about. Nothing's hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. Jesus is the light of the world that saves. We're to be the light of the world that shines his beauty to the world. But there's coming a day when another kind of searching and judging light from heaven, and it will expose all that's hidden. Nothing will remain hidden forever. Verse 18, take care then, because that's true, because there will be a day of judgment, there will be a day of revealing of all things. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. We saw last week in the parable of the four soils, three of the four kinds of soils thought that they knew something about Jesus. The hard soil rejected it pretty much outright. They heard the gospel. They'd heard the message. The shallow heart, it lasts a little bit, but there's no depth. It can't grow. The overgrown heart, there's so many briars, so many distractions. Everything else has the attention of that heart. Even what he thinks he has will be taken away. They're all self-deceived hearts. Take care then, Jesus says, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has. Get that? Jesus says that person doesn't have anything of him. And yet that same person thinks that he has something with Jesus. Jesus, in this verse, is appealing to you, and on his behalf, I beg you, pay attention to how you listen to God's word. Whether it's through the mouth of this weak preacher, or whether it's through your own Bible reading, or whether it's through another teacher of the word of God, take care, pay attention to how you listen to the word of God. And I want you to just to take time right now, slow down, stop, before it's everlastingly too late, and examine your own life. How do you hear what comes out of the mouth of God? 1 Timothy 3 says that this book is the very breath of God. The words in this book were breathed out by God Himself through human authors so that we have the written word of the living God. How do you listen to this book? When it's preached, when it's taught, when you read it. Do you listen in such a way that you believe what it says, that you trust the author, and that you allow this book to change you? So much so that you get up and do what it says. Do you let the shine the light of grace that's been lit in your heart into your world? Does what you know about the goodness of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection, does it shine out from you to those around you? Do you tell it? Do you joyfully and consistently talk about Jesus to people you know? You see, a true follower of Jesus, it'll just be normal conversation. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Folks, it should not have been that long ago. Is your schedule shaped by your commitment to do what Jesus has said to do? Do you want to know if you're actually shaping your life according to Jesus' commands? Well, then slow down. Get your calendar out. Think about what you're going to be doing this afternoon and tomorrow, the rest of the week, the rest of this month, on into the rest of the year. What your plans are. When you look at those plans on your calendar, how you'll spend your time and money, that's really what those plans are all about, right? Are those plans directed by a love for yourself or a love for Jesus and an obedience to what He says our life is to be about? When you look at your schedule and your plans, is there any dying to self, places where you have to not do and you're planning to not do what you want to do so that you can do what Jesus said do? Is there any cross-bearing in your planning schedule? Do you find any following in the steps of Jesus written in ink and there on your calendar? Doing something on a given day that will emulate and follow the example of Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Is your response to the news these days in sync, not with a political party's platform, but with the heart of Jesus and how Jesus says we should love and respect and honor every human being as image bearers, how he says the truth matters, how Jesus says integrity matters at all levels, how justice to the oppressed matters, how respect for authority matters, how peacefulness among the people of God and as the people of God interact with this world, not violence and anger and hate, how peacefulness matters. Is that how you respond to the news? And humbly loving and serving others and sharing the gospel of Jesus with our world, how that is in fact what should matter most in our lives, for it is indeed the world's deepest need. You see what Jesus is saying here in this clear and pointed warning is this: make no mistake. This is Jesus speaking to you. Make no mistake. It's all going to be exposed one day. And if you think you have something spiritual going on, but your life doesn't prove it, on that day, Jesus said, I'll rip away even what you think you have, and you'll be spiritually naked and exposed to my justice and wrath because you heard the truth of the gospel, you heard what I said, but you just wouldn't truly listen, and I know you never listen because you don't obey. Obedience to Jesus is the mark of the one who savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real relationship with Jesus. You know what Jesus is asking you this morning? After this message, this is his question for you at the end of this time together this morning. I believe it's as if Jesus would speak to you right now and say, can you hear me now? Maybe when this message started, you were one who thought you had a relationship with Jesus, but now you realize you've just been fooling yourself because you don't shine the light of the gospel to your world, and you don't even shape your life, your actions, your schedule, your spending by Jesus' commands. Suddenly you have been exposed by Jesus through his own words in this text, and Jesus just says, can you hear me now? Listen, it's not too late. That's the reason the sovereign God of this universe put this whole deal together, where this morning you're hearing this message so that you can, in this moment, for the first time, truly listen and obey Jesus. You can not just hear his word, but do it, and in so doing, be his mother and his brothers, be his real family, enter into a personal and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you really listening to me? That's Jesus' question. And church, it's a question for you as well. It's not just a question for unbelievers, it's a question for you. Are you consistently and continually listening to Jesus and doing what he commands, which is to shine the gospel of light into your world and to shape your life according to his commands? In Matthew 5, Jesus said something very similar. He says to his hearers there and to you and me today, you are the light of the world. You know, in another place, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But here he calls us the light of the world. Why? Because we've embraced the light of the world. Now we have become little lights, if you will, in the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In verse 16 of Matthew 5, it says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Church family, let me say something to you. As a body, are we shining the light of the gospel to our world and beyond? Are we shaping our life together according to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hear me, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. We are, as a church family, the light of the world. Can Gilmer County see the light through us? How can we grow in this way? How can we better shine the gospel light into our community? How can we better shape our corporate life together so that it is more in sync with the commands of Jesus? How can we look more like Jesus practically in our world? You see, the goal of all that is so those who see us both shining the light and shaping our lives according to the Word of God, so that they would glorify our Father who is in heaven. The whole deal is this: we want to see this world to see us captivated by Jesus, both in how we speak about Him and how we live for Him practically, so that they too can be captivated by the beauty of Christ. Obedience to Jesus is the mark of the one who has savingly heard and believed the gospel and has a real relationship with Jesus. Jesus' question for you, sir. His question for you, ma'am. His question for you, young man, young woman, is, are you really listening to me?